to echo Stephen's welcome for those who are joining us for the first time. It's wonderful to have you with us today. Now, in 1644, Christmas was banned. And I don't mean in the sense that a London jazz orchestra broke out in singing Joy to the World. I mean banned in the sense that Parliament officially banned any celebration that had to do with Christmas. I wonder if you can imagine no Christmas carol singing, no Christmas hat wearing, no Christmas cracker pulling, and definitely no Christmas gift giving. And for 20 years, it was so, spreading to other parts of the world too. You see, it was decided that Christmas should be banned because Christmas had apparently lost its meaning, and because the true reason for the season had somehow become entangled in the other celebrations. Can you imagine Parliament of today banning Christmas because its true meaning had become entangled in the festivities and celebrations? Yet in truth, for most people of our day, including those in Parliament, the true meaning of Christmas has all too sadly been well and truly lost. And in the confusion, countless views about what Christmas means have crept into people's hearts. And even we in the church have a difficult time sorting through those different views and gauging an understanding of what Christmas is really all about. Well, with all these different views flying around the place, how do we, as folk who love the truth, and I trust that if you're here this morning, there's at least a part of you that does love the truth and wants to know the truth. How do we discern the true meaning of Christmas in amongst all the views that we hear in our day? Well, thankfully for us, the Bible lays out exactly what we should be celebrating at this time of year. And in a confusing world, it's really good for us to be reminded of the truth. This morning, we're going to spend a few moments considering and reflecting on Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. So if you do have your Bible with you, you might like to open there. And if you don't have a Bible with you and you would like to have one, you can pop to the back. There's a row of Bibles at the back there, but no pressure to have a Bible open if you don't have one with you. And this passage really represents heaven's perspective of Christmas. I think that as we read these words, it becomes obvious that we could spend hours and hours, weeks and weeks, considering the extraordinary passage that lies before us. But this morning, we're going to do so very simply with three headings. The first being, Jesus was in the highest place. And secondly, he chose to step down for you and for me. And thirdly, he is now exalted in the highest place. Jesus was in the highest place. He chose to step down for you and for me. Now he is exalted in the highest place. Well, Philippians 2 reminds us that in the beginning, Jesus was in the highest place because together with the Father and the Spirit, he is God. Verses 5 and 6 say this: have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now, without getting into the broader context of the letter this morning that is pointed to in verse 5, verse 6 makes two very strong points. The first is that Jesus was in the form of God. In essence, Jesus was God before the Christmas story began. That's the first point that is made in verse 6. The second is that Jesus didn't grasp equality with God. He didn't grasp at equality with God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. There's two reasons for this. The first is that he didn't need to grasp for equality with God because, as we've already briefly looked at, he was God. You can't grasp for something, or you don't need to grasp for something that already belongs to you. It's already yours. And so, in that sense, there was no need for Jesus to grasp at equality with God. But in the other sense of grasping, Jesus didn't cling to equality with God. He already had it. It already belonged to him, but he was willing to give it up for your sake and for mine. And what a wonderful thing that is. And it's the very opposite to Satan, by the way, who wasn't in the form of God. Equality with God didn't belong to him, and yet that was something that he grasped for. And so it's wonderful to know that Jesus is the exact opposite of Satan. Now, Revelation 22, verse 16, refers to Jesus as the bright morning star. And sometimes it's helpful for us to have a visual picture of what we're looking at in Scripture. And so we've got a bright morning star here this morning. We've already considered that Jesus was in the highest place. And I wish that we could put the star in the highest place because that would make my point all the more clear. But it would be a little impractical. And besides anything else, as high as the ceiling is, even the top of this church building is not the highest place in the sense of Christ being in the highest place. And so it's reasonably high, but even so, if I grasp for this, if I reach up for that star, I can't reach it. It's out of reach. Again, it would have been good if we could have put the star in the highest place because that would have shown just how far out of reach this star really is for me. The Bible tells us that we have been separated from God because of our sin. Sin has separated us from God, and yet within the heart of every human, there's a desire to be reconciled with God. And there's two ways that we either go about trying to be reconciled with God. Either we seek God as God has called us to do, and we have a desire to be reconciled with who God truly is. Or we go the other route. We try to become God ourselves. And we know that that ends in devastating consequences. We see that all over. We see that in ourselves. When we try to become God, it doesn't end well with us because we're not God. We're not supposed to be God. We're supposed to be worshippers of God. Yet the Bible calls us to be reconciled with God. We want to be reconciled with God, but because of our sins, we simply cannot reach God. Now, I can't reach the star because I'm short. Some of you are a little taller and you may be able to reach that star, but the Bible tells us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God because of our sins, and so none can reach up to God. We're all completely separated. And again, God is in the highest place, far out of reach. There's no way we can reach God by ourselves. But that's where the wonder of our Christmas story comes in, because there came a time when someone was in the wilderness and said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And at that time, I am coming back. A way was prepared, and the remarkable happened where, although we could not reach God, it'll all be good. Although we could not reach God, God came down to us. And God did not come to a place of being above us all, shouting down and saying, I am the Lord, you will follow me now. I'm sure we would have. But in amazing humility, Jesus came down, not to the middle of the ladder, but to the very lowest rung, below the kings of the world, and he came in the very form of a servant and then dwelt among us. And that's really what the Christmas story is all about. Which is why Philippians 2 verse 7 to 8 continues by saying, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, in comparison to being in the form of God, as we've just read. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He emptied himself of heavenly glory and took on the form of a servant, of a slave, for you and for me. And we know that he was obedient to the point of death, not having been subjected to these things, but willingly laying down his life. A point that's made clear in many parts of the Bible, including John chapter 10, verse 18, that says, no one takes my life from me. This is Jesus speaking about his coming crucifixion. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And that he did, which was a devastating moment for those who loved him and followed him. But it was not the end, because as we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And what is the highest name? That's the name of God, of Yahweh. Have a look at, if you've got your Bibles again, open at Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 to 23. And see how this passage in Philippians is a reflection of the words of Yahweh. And again, this points to the fact that Jesus is God. This is what the Lord says. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, for my mouth has gone out in righteousness, a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. And so how wonderful it is to know that in humility, Jesus came down to us, but was restored again to the highest place, to the glory of God. And as we reflect on the wonder of the fact that Jesus came down to earth to live among us, we remember that a way remained for you and for me to have access to God through all that had taken place. And so this means for us that a way has been opened. And although not to be forgotten amidst the Christmas carol singing and Christmas hat wearing and Christmas cracker pulling and Christmas pudding eating, and Christmas present giving, although not to be forgotten among those things, the true story of Christmas is something to be celebrated indeed. Just in terms of the ladder that remains, of course it's not a ladder, but the ladder represents the way to the Father through Jesus Christ. There is only one way. For the Led Zeppelin fans out there, if there are any, we need to remember that there is no other stairway to heaven. And we certainly can't buy our way there. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." There is no other way to be reconciled to God than through Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that clear. There's one ladder, and there is room for one at a time. We can't be saved by a group deal. We can't be saved just because we go to church or come from a Christian family. We need to come to God through Jesus Christ ourselves. There is no other name by which we must be saved. There's no other ladder. And so there are two things left for us to do, and these are two things that we're going to reflect on as we sing our next hymn this morning. The first is that we need to believe that Christ Jesus stepped down from heaven, lived the perfect life that we could never live, and died the death that we deserve to die for us. We need to believe that, and then we need to respond in adoration. The words of the song that we're going to sing are, "You stepped down from heaven, humbly you came," and then the chorus, "Adore. Come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. The Lord, worship Christ the Lord. Let all that is within us adore." Amen.